Hello, and welcome back to Death Walks With Us. I'm your host, Angela. Today's episode is going to be short, but the case is extremely important as it is an active missing persons case. This case is about a missing white woman who disappeared from my hometown, Middleburg, 39 years ago today, on October 13th, 1986. The reason why I chose this case is because she's missing from my hometown, and I felt like I should cover it just because it's Middleburg. This episode is about Erica Jane Frenolich, also known as Erica Jane Paparewski. So before I begin, I want to tell you that I will post some articles in the show notes from where I got information alleging certain events. With this case, I am trying to be careful. To me, a lot of it seems to be hearsay, so I will be saying according to such and such in the newspapers. There is the official investigation, and then there is a private investigation. I will say the private investigation is what seems to be in the public memory for many of the older people in my hometown. Private investigators can access information that the police cannot access. Well, that they are not supposed to access, but we know they do, and then that ruins cases because they weren't supposed to get that information or use the tactics they use to get that information. So this episode is about Erica. Erica Paparewski was born August 12, 1960. I don't have much information on her early life, so I'm going right to where she met Richard Frenolich. Erica had been living in Texas with her first son and his father, where he worked. Richard was also working there. Soon, Erica and her son's father's relationship was over, and she married Richard. They had a son together, Richard Jr., and they moved to Michigan, where Erica's family lived. In interviews to journalists, family members alleged that their relationship was volatile. Her brother had stated that while they lived in Michigan, Erica's husband allegedly dragged her into the street where they had lived. And that is what Erica's brother alleges that Richard did to his sister. Erica's sister also said that Erica and Richard's relationship was not good. There was lots of drug use and physical abuse. Their relationship was very volatile and was a burden to their family. In the summer of 1986, Erica's husband took their baby and left Michigan for Duanesburg, New York. From what I gathered from the news articles is that when Richard left, he put both of the boys, his and Erica's son, plus her firstborn son, into the car. This was to show Erica that he was just going to the store and wouldn't leave since he had the oldest with him. But half a mile down the road, he kicked the eldest out of the car and told him to walk back. He was 6 years old. Richard took off because his relationship with his child's mother was not a good relationship. It's alleged that he wanted to get away from her, but she did not want to let him go. So Erica sent her eldest to Arkansas to stay with his grandparents, and then she followed Richard to New York, allegedly to get her child back, but instead she reconciled with Richard. At the time of her disappearance, she was staying with her husband's family in Delanson, which is a village in the town of Duanesburg. It was not good living with his family, and their relationship did not improve. Allegedly, they were still doing drugs, and their relationship was still violent. The private investigator alleged that there is talk of Erica stealing from Richard's family members, which he stated that he does not know if the allegations are true or something they made up. Unfortunately, though I can't say if this allegation is true or not, people with drug addictions do steal from loved ones. Less of a chance of being arrested, more of a chance of being forgiven. What does give this claim some credibility is that at some point, Richard and Erica did end up living in their car with their 2-year-old son. So on Friday, October 13th, 1986, the couple went to a bar in Middleburg, New York, It does seem an odd choice, as there are multiple bars closer to Delancey, and they would have passed others to get to Millerburg. On Friday the 13th, Erica stood at 5 feet 4 inches, was roughly 100 pounds, and was 26 years old. She had brown hair and brown eyes and was wearing blue denim overalls with a bulky shirt. Now, there are accounts that Erica and Richard had been seen fighting in and out of the bar that night. So, Erica was last seen in public at roughly 9 p.m. on October 13, 1986, on Main Street, Millerburg, near Railroad Ave. I spoke to people who knew the area in 1986, and they said the bar she had gone to was most likely called the Main Rail. It is no longer there. I believe it is a coffee shop, or was the last time I was in Millerburg. So, Millerburg is my hometown, but I no longer live there. But I still do live in Schoharie County, which I will bring up in another episode. All right, back to Erica. So, according to her brother, Mike, around 8:15 p.m., he received a call from Erica. She had called him from a payphone the night she disappeared. The payphone she used was across the street from the bar she had gone to, which was in front of another bar. Kelly's This Bar is still located on Main Street, Millerburg. This call had been verified and was a 49-minute call. Mike did not know she was in Millerburg until he received his phone bill, as she had called him collect. So, according to her brother Mike, Erica was in fear of her life. Allegedly, Erica told her brother that Richard was going to kill her. Mike alleged that he told her to go to the police, but she said she could not go because the police were in on it, and there was a cop with them at the bar. On what? He did not say, but she was in fear for her life with no place to go. In 1986, she would have had nowhere to go. Millerburg was miles from the interstate and even more miles away from Delancey. At 9 o'clock at night, there would have been no transportation. Millerburg is a rural town surrounded by farms, the kinds that grow vegetables, so there's a lot of fields surrounding Millerburg. Plus, there's a lot of wooded areas surrounding Millerburg. So Mike did want her to leave that very night to come back to Michigan, and he offered her the use of his credit card to get her home. She promised Mike she would make arrangements and leave the next day, but he never heard from her again. Sometime after that, Erica's husband Richard took their son and moved to Vermont, and Erica was never seen again. Well, publicly acknowledged that she had been seen. So, unfortunately for Erica's family, they were going through some hard times. About this time, Erica's mother was diagnosed with a brain tumor, so they didn't notice Erica hadn't been in contact. No one reported her missing till finally her sister did on February 26, 1987, more than 5 months since she was last seen, and her family had heard from her. Her sister reported her missing to Michigan authorities. They contacted New York, who said, "Hey, she's not here." So no one worked on Erica's disappearance for 7 years. This case sat for 7 years. Then her case was bounced around. It seemed each time someone got it and started working on her case, they would get promoted and it would be sent to someone else. There was no local family advocating for her. And about 2003, the case finally landed on an investigator's desk who worked on it for a decade. So Erica's brothers did come to New York to speak with the police. They said they also went to Richard's family, who harassed them, and they got nowhere with the family. But according to the state police, they did find that Erica's relationship with her husband, Richard, had been troubled. Also, according to Erica's brother, she was addicted to cocaine and spent $400 a week on it back in the early 1980s. This also gives credibility to claims that she was stealing from Richard's family, which, to be fair, he could have also been in on it, stealing, and they just blamed her for his problems. Not saying that's true. That's speculation. And according to the investigator, it is just speculation that they were stealing because he doesn't know how much credibility there was in that claim. But also at the same time, many people do not want to blame their loved ones and blame their partners for their problems, as if they wouldn't have gotten involved in it if it wasn't for the other person being there. So, according to the private investigator, Greg Overacker, there are inconsistencies in Richard's story about what happened to his wife. He also alleged that Mr. Franulich wouldn't answer questions, hides behind his lawyer, and even refuses to do a polygraph. Which you can't put too much stock in polygraphs anyways. They can be a tremendous waste of time and very misleading. Even FBI profilers discredit them as sociopaths can pass and honest people can fail. Also, I want to point out that the police can legally lie to you when they are investigating crimes. The police can tell you that you failed the polygraph even when you passed it. Thus, by doing that, they do get false confessions. People will confess because they believe the police, and then they feel they have to, as there is no way out, as the police do have all this evidence that they committed a crime that they did not commit. So the inconsistencies the private investigator talked about in the article was that he alleges Richard told him he put his wife on a bus in Schenectady a few days before Halloween. Then it was 2 or 3 days after October. Then it was October 14. And according to Mr. Overacker, Richard said he was with his wife on October 13th. Now, to be fair, the investigation started years afterwards, and maybe Richard doesn't really remember all the details of when he said goodbye to his wife because he doesn't really care. Though also allegedly, the story Richard and his brother gave to the police was that she was put on a bus, and that is why Richard claims he never reported her missing. He hadn't known she disappeared after putting her on a bus. Here, I am going to point out that in a news article, Erica's sister alleges that Erica was last seen on the Franulich farm after she left Millerburg. This also seems to be the consensus in comments on Facebook that Erica was last seen on the farm, not in Millerburg, which, if we believe Richard, if he put her on a bus within days of being in Millerburg, she would most likely have been to the farm after the bar. So it's a good conclusion that if he put her on the bus, then she would have been last seen at the farm. Now as for Richard. Richard was born on May 14th, so he would be about 66 today, as he was 61 in 2020. So Richard had followed his brother Joseph when Joseph moved up to North Vermont. I read he most likely moved because everyone in a small town thought he was guilty, but that doesn't make sense since he moved up to Vermont in 1992 and the investigation had not really begun. If 7 years from 1987, it would have been 1994 that the investigation in New York began. Also, Richard never had Erica declared dead. Basically, if Richard never declares her dead nor gets a divorce, he is still legally married and cannot marry again till one of four things happens. He declares her dead, gets a divorce, they find her body, or she is still alive and gets a divorce herself. So let's talk about the PIs. They say that it is factual Richard never put Erica on a bus, but they can't say any more about that, which to me makes it suspicious. Why can't they say more if it's actually true? Investigators speculate she was last seen at his family's farm, which, like I said, if we take what Richard said, then she was most likely at the farm after being in Millerburg, but then would have been seen last on a bus? And what if that is true? What if she disappeared from a rest area and no one noticed? people disappear from rest areas. Now I am going to briefly mention Brianna Meltlan. I hope I said that correct. She went missing March 19, 2004 from Montgomery, Vermont, which is close to where Mr. Franlucci lives. And according to Mr. Overacker, his son, Erica's son, at one point had dated Brianna's best friend before she disappeared. I am not going into this case. I am just putting out there as Overacker discussed Erica on an episode on a show about Brianna. Tragically, Erica's oldest son died in 2006, so he cannot advocate for his mother and could not have, as he would have been too young when she disappeared. So please, if you have any information, contact the New York State Police at 518-630-1700. After that, if you want, you can contact the private investigator, but I recommend contacting the police first so they have the information. The investigator's information is in the articles I have posted if you have information and want to contact them after contacting the police. So that is it for now. I'm keeping this one short. And I will post my next episode before the end of this month, October. I know my last episode, I said September when I had meant October. But I will post my next episode by the end of the month. And till next time, this has been Death Walks With Us.